Scripture reading is taken from Jonah, chapter 1. Please turn in your Bibles to Jonah 1. And one of the things I noticed in Honduras they do every time the scriptures are read is that the people stand to honor the Word of God, something that was taken from the Old Testament. So let's stand together and read. I will read to you Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, got a ship, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down below in the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." But each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you? From what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately and returned to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. And I have the privilege of introducing to you Enrique Newman, who is the assistant director of, it's called Ecclesias Comunidad de Amor, Church Community of Love. And these are the churches that they're planting throughout Honduras. They presently have 17 churches, of which he is the assistant director overseeing the function and pastoral leadership of those churches. He is under the direction of the American Baptist Association. They have, in addition to their 17 schools, they are churches. They have a school of which Beth Johnson is going to be teaching in coming in January. They also have a theological Bible institute for pastors who are preparing for ministry, as well as those who are currently in ministry for their encouragement and further training. And I've noted that those pastors that are already working bivocational jobs, pastoring these churches, are mature men of God who are serious about the kingdom and are doing a wonderful job. So I have the privilege of introducing to you Enrique and his wonderful wife, Stacy. Stacy will not be speaking to us this morning, but we would like you to make sure that you say hi to them in the foyer. So God bless you. Here's Enrique.
Buenos dias. Oh, great. preach in Spanish. First and foremost, I would like to introduce my wife, Stacy. She's from Rhode Island. She is what you would call a local. Thank you, Pastor Duncan, for inviting us to be here and your wonderful congregation. And thank you, congregation, Community Bible Church, for letting us borrow Pastor Duncan and Brother Dave Jolin and a couple others that went down to Honduras. We had a wonderful time, a wonderful experience sharing with them and Brother Abe down there. And the title of my message is, Who, Me? You might be saying, who's preaching today? Enrique Newman? Who's this Hispanic Jew? Who is this guy? So the title of my message is, Who, Me? Now, we read from Jonah, and if you have your Bibles with you, if you can go back to that chapter 1 of the book of Jonah, please. For those of you who don't know where it is, it's right after Obadiah. And I'm just going to read the first three verses of it. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm reading off the King James Version. So it says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Lord, thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day here. May you speak through me, not I, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who, me? Who, me? I like to give titles to my messages because it lets us understand what the characterization of the preaching will be. When I look at chapter 1 of Jonah, I see myself in there. Because I circled three words, and going off from King James Version, it might look a little bit different, but the first word in chapter 1 on the first verse is now. I circled now. Verse number 2, I circled arise. Verse number 3, I circled flee. Some of you might not, you know, circle your Bible. I did. Now, it's wonderful when we hear about messages. You know, when I was AOL, used to be really popular back in the day. And they had a little feature that when you got an email, it said, you got mail. And that was really nice, you know. Oh, who is it? Oh, it's a bill. Not good. So when you hear that, it's like, oh, awesome. My parents wrote to me an email. Let me go see what they say. Let me go see what the news are. Let me go see what they, you know, how do they miss me? You know, I one of the things that I liked hearing from Pastor Duncan, it's like, we miss Johnny terribly, you know? And I remember my parents doing that when I was up here in college, because I'm a missionary kid and preacher's kid growing up. I was in I was here for college, but my parents were in Honduras. And I couldn't wait to hear that. You've got mail. Let me see what they have to say. You know, another of the things is, you know, maybe you're you have a family member in the military. You know, and you can just imagine if they are wherever they are, whether it be South Korea or Germany or Iraq, and they get that care package, you know, and they can't wait to open it. And they open it and they see the chocolates or whatever you sent them, a sticker, maybe a picture, a letter, and they grab it and they start reading it. And they read that word, and they're excited. They're excited. They're like, what do they have to tell me? And they smell it. Maybe you sprayed something on it. Oh, and they can feel like they're back here. You know, verse number one says, now the word of the Lord. You know, it's beautiful. I used to work in corporate America, corporate banking. And it was nice when I heard word from the boss that I was going to get promoted. You know, I say, wow, you're going to promote a Hispanic. Excellent. But it wasn't because I was Hispanic. It was because you work hard. You know, and they see the work ethic. And when the word comes down and you say, oh, so-and-so word come down from the boss, you're going to get a raise. You said, praise God. You know, praise God. But this is different. Because it wasn't the word that came down from the mayor of Williamstown. It wasn't the word of the president. It was the word of God. The word of God. You know, in our lives, we're so busy that we have to be like little radios. Because, you know, the radios have the little antenna. And as people, we have to have our antennas set up straight so that when word of the Lord comes, we're syntonized and we can hear. We don't hear like, but we can hear the word of the Lord. We can hear it clear. Verse number one, we see the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. When I was 17 years old, I'm a pastor's kid, word of the Lord came to Enrique in Honduras. I was a senior in high school, and God spoke to my heart. You know, my dad never said, I want you to be a pastor, I want you to be a missionary, I want you to go church planting, I want you to be nice with the poor. No, he never said. But word of the Lord came, and God said, I will use you. I will use you. And I said, okay, that's good, you know. Right now, Lord, I'm 17. Let me live my life. I want to go to school. I want to get my business degree, perhaps put my own business. You know, live life. Live life. And when you think of where you are right now in your lives, you think of points in your life when you decided what you wanted to be, you know, for the rest of your career, for the rest of your life. And at that point, I said, you know what? Yes, you know, eventually, I guess I'll end up doing that. But right now, Lord, I'm going to business school, and that's where it's going to be. Well, I kind of can relate to Jonah, you know. Word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah, I can just imagine Jonah, you know, doing whatever he was doing, saying, oh, word of the Lord, what does he want now? You know, many times, we're the same way. We're the same way. Maybe we're like, and we're like, oh, okay, time to shut up the radio. Oh, time to change the channel. It's an AM, let's put it in an FM. And our life takes, you give life a different importance. When you start hearing those noises, you kind of like, okay, maybe I'm not hearing right. If you look with me at verse number one, I feel a sense of urgency now, the word of the Lord, not yesterday, not tomorrow, now. And at 17 years old, what do I know about now? You know, I know about me, you know, I know about myself, I know about the future, what I want to do, you know. And it was interesting because I grew up in an environment where, you know, it's ministry all over. You know, not only in a church setting, but in the field setting. Church planting with my parents, traveling through 15 states, visiting churches here in the States, trying to raise funds. And you try to put it back in your mind, you know. You try to put it back in, shut the radio off. And you say, who, me? Eventually. Verse number two, it says, arise, go to Nineveh. And it's interesting because the Lord says, that great city. You know, many of you that are sitting here might be doctors, lawyers, mechanics, teachers, and you might have developed your economic potential. You might have developed your social potential or your intellectual potential. But when I see that verse, that great city, look at what it says after. And cry against it for their wickedness. Hello? God is saying, it's a great city, but it's wicked? It's come up before me. What God is saying is, have you developed your spiritual potential? Have you? Okay, yeah, economic potential, yes. Intellectual potential, yes. Social potential, yes. Is spiritual potential? I don't know. I look at that verse and I say, wow. God, even though God saw that that city is wicked, He could see that it was a great city. Because He could see that eventually it would have a spiritual potential. Spiritual potential. Many times, you know, we know all these people. That dude, that guy, he's a drunk. He's a womanizer. That lady, just talks about everybody in the neighborhood. I'm not going to preach to her. I'm not going to share the gospel. If we are synthesized with the Lord, and we say, who, me? Then we get the responsibility of a Christian. We understand. And we have to see the spiritual potential in them. Spiritual potential. I had an uncle who one day, he was a drunk and had owned a prostitution center in Honduras, in the North Coast. One day he was drunk, walking like crazy, and he heard some singing in a church. He heard them singing. And he went in, and that day he got saved. That day he got saved. Because the word of God was being preached at that church. The word of God was being preached. And he became a well-known Christian. And he closed his businesses and gave his life to God. You know? Verse number 2, arise, go to Nineveh. It was wonderful. We got called to ministry. My wife and I got called to ministry on September 2007. I was a site supervisor for Bank of America, and that's where I met my wife. And economically, we were wonderfully doing wonderfully. And the Lord called us. I got an email from my father. And that email said something like this. Enrique, my son, life is short. If you want to get married, go ahead and get married. If you want to go and get your master's, go ahead and get your master's. If you want to go and travel the world, go ahead and travel the world. But don't look back on your life and say you never did anything for God. And I was like, interesting. Interesting email. And I prayed. And I thought about it. You know, he did not say to me, I want you to be a missionary or anything. But I thought it was very interesting. And at that time, I was dating my wife. And we got engaged. And we got married. And it was interesting. Verse number 2, I circled it. It says, arise. Arise. You know, arise means get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. You know, when we read chapter 1, it said that Jonah went into the ship and he lay down, right? Fell asleep. That's probably how we are sometimes. You know, like, nice stars. God is saying, get up. Don't be a lazy spiritual person. Get up right now. Not tomorrow. Verse number 1. Now. Now, we got married. For those of you who don't know, we live by faith in Honduras. So we went out from, like, making thousands and thousands of dollars a day to living on almost nothing. We got married, and we asked people, you know, to give us married money because we can't take sofas and all that kind of stuff. So we got there. After a month, we ran out of money. And so we lived by faith. That was number 1. Number 2. Stacy at that time only knew 3 words of Spanish. And thank God now she knows 12. So we arose. You know, sometimes Pastor might be preaching here, Pastor Duncan might be saying, today we're going to have a food drive. And you're like, let me go to the bathroom for a second. We're going to need 3 volunteers for Bible school. And you said, is there a kid, my kid crying? And you go out the door. Arise. God is calling you. Arise. When a call like that is made, you cannot just sit there and say, you know what, Sister Gail can do it. She's the pastor's wife. Let her do it. We're going to have a concert. Oh, Brother Abe, he's good. Let him go and have the concert. We need volunteers for food. Brother Steve Chang? Huh? My name is Mike. What do you mean? I'm not Mr. Chang. Arise. And you say, who, me? Yes, you. You. God is talking to you. Not me. He already talked to me. You know, here I am with my wife, a month into our new ministry, retired from corporate banking in Honduras. And my friend, my evangelist friend who went to school with me in Florida, college with me, says, Enrique, I'm going to go witness, evangelize in the bus system. What do you mean in the bus system? I'm going to go in the bus, and once I get up there, I'm going to start preaching. Do you want to come? I said, let me think about it. This is Enrique Newman and Stacy Newman. He invited me, brand new missionary, and me having to say, let me think about it. Can you imagine that? God has called me. I said, yes. Stacy said, yes. We're going Honduras. And first test, boom. Do you want to go preach in the bus? Let me think about it. That Sunday, we were invited to go listen to him preach. And God talked to me. God told me, I want you to go. I said, Lord, leave me alone. Leave me alone, Lord. I want you to go. So I said, okay. Timmy, I'm going to go in with you, okay? So the day comes, and it was cold as cold can be, 65 degrees. People start dying in Honduras at 55 degrees. It's cold. It was cold. It was a day that I could have stayed cuddled with my wife and all lovey-dovey, you know, newlyweds. And I said, all right, I'll go. And my attitude was kind of like, okay, I guess I'll put it on my checklist and get her over with. Who, me? Lord, leave me alone. I'm going to plant a church. You know, we're going to go do this, go do that. Lord is testing you. Lord does that to you. In many ways. I didn't even see it. I thought my antenna was like synthesized, but no, I didn't want to hear it. Here I go with my friends, four of us, two 20-year-olds, 25-year-old, 31-year-old. Excellent. So I'm thinking I can control the situation, you know, these kids. I said, guys, this is what we're going to do. You guys go in the front and preach, and me and him are going to go to the back, and we're going to lay our hands on the seats, and we're going to say, Lord, bless these seats. Whoever sits here, touch them by your Holy Spirit that they may be saved. And it worked. I said, yes, I don't have to preach. So the first guy goes, starts preaching, and stuff starts to happen. Next guy starts preaching, stuff started to happen. Remember, spiritual potential. Develop your spiritual potential. So we got off the bus stop, and they go, you're next. And I said, okay, yeah, go. No, you. I said, who, me? Okay. To make a long story short, after 12 buses and about 3 hours of preaching in public transportation, 24 souls were saved. 24 souls were saved. Praise be to God. You know why? Because those were 24 souls that their destiny was hell. And because the power of God taught me to arise, take action now, today, this moment, not yesterday. You know, some of us had the mentality, you know what? That's what Christian television is for. Let Billy Graham Evangelistic Association do it. That's why I send them $20 a month. You know? Let that other church that goes door to door do it. Not me, Lord. I go, I give my tithing, I give my offering. That's what I'm here for. Arise. Arise. Let the Lord use you. You know? Let the Lord use you. You know, when I got called with my wife, I went up to my boss, wonderful guy, and I said, I quit on the spot. I told him I'm giving my two weeks notice. And he said, but are you sure? And he said, well, we can give you this, we can give you that. And I said, yes, I'm sure. I said, okay, you have another job? I said, yes, I've been promoted. I've been promoted. I want to be a missionary. He looked at me like I was the craziest guy ever. And a couple of my friends, they told me, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. How much are you going to make? I said, probably nothing. It's not about the money. It's about the souls. It's about the souls. Many of you have family members. And he said, yeah, I sent him that track, that Christian track. He read it. Tomorrow might be too late. And you say, who, me? Yes. Maybe God is not calling you to be a missionary in Honduras, in Africa, in Australia, or in Costa Rica. But he's calling you to be a missionary where you are, as a teacher, as a doctor, as a mechanic, as a lawyer, as a nurse, as an actress. Do not say, who, me? Yes, you. Yes, you. Maybe not over there, but over here. For their wickedness has come up before me. See that spiritual potential in that neighbor who you always wave and he just looks at you and rolls up the electronic window of his Mercedes or whatever they drive. It's for a reason that that person is your neighbor. It was in God's plan that you be that missionary to go over and say, what a nice car. God has blessed you. Boom, right there you have an opening. God has blessed you. Spiritual potential in your neighbor. Do not think, oh, that guy, he's never going to listen to me. Knock 30 times if you can. One day he'll open the door. One day she'll open the door. Because the word of God never, never, listen to me, church, never returns void. Never. You might not see it in your lifetime, but it will never return void. Ever. Some of you are passionate. Think about at this moment. Community Bible Church, think at this moment. What are you passionate about? I might not be invited back over here because I was told not to talk about this. But I'm led by the Spirit. What are you passionate about? I'm going to tell you what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about sports. I love the Red Sox. I'm a hardcore Red Sox fan. Hardcore. And you know what? I love politics. And many of you do as well. But I love ministry more. I am passionate about souls. My wife is passionate about souls. Because today, brother, you might not be here tomorrow. That person that you know that is not saved might not be here tomorrow. Today, sister, your friend that you go to school with might not be here tomorrow. You got to be passionate about many things, whatever you want. But as Christians, we have to be passionate about souls. Somebody was asking me, do you think it's a coincidence when you meet somebody and you just say hi to them one time and you never see them again? I said, no. I said, it was in God's book that you met them. I call those golden opportunities. Golden opportunities. Somebody at the elevator, you say hi. Use those. You think of strategies. See the spiritual potential in them. Don't say, who, me? He'll eventually hear the word of God. How do you know? How do you know? If it wasn't you. If it wasn't you. Verse number 3. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee. Remember what I said? I circled that word in my Bible. Since I was 17 till I was 30, I fled. Who's good in math? It's an easy one. 13 years. Enrique Newman, the son of a missionary, he fled? Yes. See? Iowa? I fled. For 13 years, I fled the call of God. Do you think, in your wildest imagination, that Stacy Newman, Enrique Newman, would be here today? We'd never even been to the Berkshires. We had to use a GPS. I never thought I was going to be up here preaching. I was a banker. My wife was a banker. I didn't study theology. I have a Bible minor, but it wasn't my main degree. Have you been fleeing? You know, some of you might be hiding. You said, hiding? Yeah, just like Jonah. Like I did. Here I am, like, brand new Christian, saying I'm a missionary. Hey, go Enrique to Honduras with Stacy. First call, boom, I wanted to hide. Let's go to the buses to preach. Let me think about it. Brand new missionary. Imagine that. So I know that if I, brand new missionary with my wife, was hiding, many of you also might be hiding. Who, me? Nah, leave me alone, Pastor. Pastor Duncan, go on your mission trip. I'll just look at your pictures and, you know, and say good job, brother. Look at verse number 3. It says, and went down to Joppa, we're talking about Jonah, and he found a ship. You know what a ship symbolizes here? Comfort zone. Ooh, don't go there, Pastor Enrique. The comfort zone. Pastor Enrique, but I support a kid in Nigeria. Good. Good. My favorite movie of all time is Schindler's List. It's an amazing story. And in one of the last scenes of that movie, Oscar Schindler is given a ring by the Jewish people. And he drops it. That's the pinnacle of the movie. You know, that's the climax of the movie. And he's like this. And he looks at his car and he says, that car, 10 people. 10 people. I could have given that car for 10 people. I could have given that car for 10 people. You cannot stand here in this life in the comfort zone and say, who, me, Lord? Who, me? No, not me. There's tons of evangelists. There's tons of preachers. There's tons of pastors. There's TBN, CBN, Daystar, all those Christian channels. There's GodTube. Who, me, Lord? Every person you see. And I think of that scene. That's one soul, two souls, three souls, four souls. Maybe they're going to heaven. Maybe they're not. But I'm not trained to be an evangelist. You know, Enrique? Then pray. God will give you the words. God will give you the words. God will give you the words. Many of us can stand up and be at a school and say, yeah, my kid this, my kid that, or why are you going to construct that road? That's too many taxpayers' money. But we can't stand up for God. Community Bible Church, Lord is saying, do not ask yourself, who, me? Do not ask yourself that. He has done much for us, much stuff for us. When we look at chapter 3 and it says, and he found a ship, the comfort zone. We already know that. Going to Tarsus, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. He did not just find it, he went down into it. You know why? Because he was not only fleeing is looking for the ship, the comfort zone, but he went down into it. Ooh, let me go hide. The Lord will not see me. Brother Abe, can you see me? Lord, are you there? He's not there. Okay. He went down into it. You know what that's called? The Adam and Eve syndrome. Go with me to Genesis. Please. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 9. Genesis chapter 3 verse 9 said, and the Lord called upon Adam and said unto him, where art thou? 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 You're breathing, you're living, you're walking, you're running, you're working, We're making money. You're spending money. You're struggling. Where art thou? Who, me, Lord? I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Look at all my degrees. Look at all my brand new cars. Look at my house. Look at my family. They're well educated, nicely dressed. I don't need you, Lord. Well, I do need you, but just in times of trouble. Who, me? Do not hide, church. Do not hide, fellow visitor. Do not hide, friend. I hid. For 13 years, I hid. Did I want to be a pastor? Not really. I said my dad is a pastor. About 50 churches planted. You know, 3 schools built. All that kind of stuff. He'd take care of me. We have the same name. Do not let the Adam and Eve syndrome take over your life. Stop hiding. Stop hiding. There's souls to be reached. Family members, friends, maybe people you don't even like. You know, my wife and I got called from a profession to a vocation. And from a job to a calling. And I know some of you have been missionaries, so you understand what I'm talking about. I'm just going to end with this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. You know who ye are? Community Bible Church. Community Bible Church. This beautiful building. This beautiful people. This wonderful people. Ye. You. Who, me? Yes, you. All of us. But ye shall receive power. So you can't say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. Not on the flesh, but on the Spirit. After that, the Holy Ghost is to come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. It's not saying the disciples. It's not saying the pastors. Ye shall be witnesses. All of us. In Jerusalem. In Judea. In Samaria. In Williamstown. In North Adams. In the Berkshires. In Massachusetts. In New England. In the U.S. All of us. In Latin America. In the world. Who, me? Yes, Lord. Send me. Here I am. Send me, Lord. Send me. Send me. Close your eyes, please. The Lord did not send an email to Peter. And this call is going to be for the courageous only. The Lord did not send an email to Peter and said, follow me. He said in front of everybody, follow me, Peter. And Peter left everything and followed him. He left everything and followed him. And like I said, this call is for the courageous only. Spiritual potential. Develop the spiritual potential in yourselves and see it in people that are not saved. It's a call for all of us. All of us. If you want to commit yourself this day, October 12, 2008, and stop and commit that you're not going to say, who, me anymore? But say, here I am, Lord. Use me anytime, anywhere, with anyone. Wherever you want, Lord. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless 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 you. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're struggling, say, Satan, get out of my face. Get out of my life. And raise your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Lord, you have seen the hands of your church. You have seen the hands of these people. You have seen the hands of my brothers and sisters. We're a partnership. We all bleed red. Because we are children of your creation. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. Anoint me. Anoint me. Give me the power. Give me the wisdom to be able to carry on what you started. To be able to share the word of God. to everybody whenever I can, whenever I have the opportunity. Bless this church, Lord, I ask you. Community Bible Church. Bless Reverend Duncan. Bless Sister Gail as ministers here. Thank you for the passion for this community. Thank you for their love for this church. Thank you for their love towards missions. Thank you for teaching us, God, how to love one another and share that with the less fortunate. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May God bless you.